You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you think it all, yeah. They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people,
gonna turn to next.
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life? Running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotel Family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. It is Wednesday. You know, got to get over the hump and get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it must be done, it has to get done, it will get done because you will do it. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. to 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. You also can use the shortcut, but whatever search engine that you use, Internet Explorer, Firefox, Google, Time for an Awakening, all you got to do is put in the search, babaoshi.net, B-A-B-A-O-S-H-I.net, babaoshi.net, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern Times. The Black Reality Think Tank is going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. It's going to be on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., and that'll be hosted by Brother Alfonso Watkins. I believe the Thursday night pro. See, I'm not sure if these things are still happening. I need to talk to Brother Elliot, because the only thing I do know is happening is my program and his program, okay? My program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. His program Friday at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, and Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba is ready to take another group of our people on another trip of a lifetime, May 24th to June 5th. He's going to Ghana. July 20th to July 30th, Rwanda. November 16th to November 27th, Tanzania. December 24th to January 4th, 2024, Azania. March 29th to April 9th, Liberia. July 11th to the 23rd, July 11th to 23rd. July 11th to July 23rd, 2024, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. And just added,
April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia, 2025. Of course, when you go to the website, you can do all kinds of great things. Everything is there. Everything you need. Even if you're not going on one of his tours or one of his trips, everything you need to make it happen for you to wherever you're going is on the website. The paperwork, the visas, the shots, everything. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures, go to YouTube. Go to Facebook.com. For pictures, Facebook.com/Bomani. Videos, YouTube.com/Bomani2007. All right. Habesha. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, these brothers and sisters are doing the work here in the Atlanta area and in Ghana. Also, too, Habesha Incorporated presents Organic Fest. That's going to be Saturday, the 24th, from noon to 8 p.m. at 477 Windsor Street in Atlanta, 30311. There'll be garden tours and workshops, how to develop gardens, Kumba, which is creativity, Children's Corner. So a lot of good things for the children to participate. Damn, Hoshi, come on now. To participate in holistic food vendors and live music and entertainment. That is Saturday, June 24th, Organic Fest. And, of course, they started the Kashi Project in Ghana. They unveiled it back in October. Beautiful buildings and sustainable agriculture and so forth. And, of course, what they do here with the programs they have here, which is Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs. Habesha. LEDGE. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE Group. The LEDGE Group deals in the four areas of human existence that are vital to human existence. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different African countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Abibiatumi, Abibiatumi, Abibiatumi.com. Brothers and sisters, Abibiatumi, you know, they're having their conference the 3rd of July, July 7th through the 9th. July 7th through the 9th at a conference dates. And you can go on bbatumi.com, get the information, download the information. It's going to be in Ghana. You know, maybe hopefully it will be live streamed and people will be able to take advantage of it on this side of the pond, so to speak. But the conference is happening, the Black Power Conference. Bbatumi.com. Abibiatumi.com. Smile Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY. SmilePharmacy.com. Brothers and sisters, contact Brother Jabril at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. He'll put a program together for you that'll put you on the right track to holistic health. That's Smile Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY. Contact him at gmail.com. The Moses West Foundation and the Mississippi Water Rescue. Brothers and sisters, we need to, as a people, wouldn't it be great if we put Brother Moses West into a position of being able to mass produce these machines? Because as much money as that was coming in, he was able to buy some buildings where he can produce these in various parts of the country and ultimately on the continent and elsewhere where people need water, because people need water. It's not that they want water. No, they need water. Water is essential. You can go days without food, but you can only go about 2 or 3 days, 3 days after the third day. So water is a necessity. That's why water should not be commodified. It should be essential and available to human beings and the planet and life. Water. So, brothers and sisters, go to the MosesWestFoundation.org. MosesWestFoundation.org and make your donations. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy, up the street from where I live. And that's Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. It's across the street from the Soul Vegetarian restaurant, down the street from the Shrine of Black Madonna. All of it's right there. Even though it's been gentrified, we're going to hold on. We're going to hold on. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Brothers and sisters, call my sister Mama Nia at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and all kinds of other things. She has availability to have book signings, and not just in her store, which is a bigger store than what she had previously, but downstairs. At the mall, there's a nice space there where you can book signings and presentations and so forth. And I'm going to do another presentation there probably later on this year. So that's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar located in Lithonia. That's east of here off of I-20. You take I-20 going east, exit 74, make a left, and about a mile down on the left would be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar with Brother Gazimde Ajamu as the proprietor. If there's a book you're looking for, just like in the case of the Medu Bookstore, give them a call. Give them a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Jump back on Main Street and head south. Make a left again onto I-20 going east. The next exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. Yes, it was good to see Mr. Allen at the conference in Baltimore, and you know what he's doing with the new Black Wall Street Market. You know, but as I said, I wish it was done a little different, but it's okay. It's going to happen. It's going to happen for us as a people. The new Black Wall Street Market. Yep. Sun Goddess Sense. No, excuse me. Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, from 9 to 10 Eastern. If you want to call to listen, you can do so or give questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah's got it going on, family. He's open Tuesdays through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Macon, Georgia. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Give sister Gabriella Real a look at by going online and going on to Sanjay-Haiti.org, and you'll see for yourself the beautiful children for education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Brothers and sisters, Sonjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya, you know, they're doing great work raising warriors. You know, you can send a check of money or out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30311. Excuse me, that's my zip. 30310. You can use PayPal, YahBaruti at yahoo.com on PayPal. Cash App, $Yah, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, for Cash App to make your donations. If you want to purchase the books that Baba Baruti writes, AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. Yeah. And, of course, there are activities that are happening with the Barutis, upcoming events. And May 13th and 14th, this is Mama Marimba Ani's event, which is Abakasin Sum Sum, African Spiritual Warfare. Abakasin Sum Sum, African Spiritual Warfare. That's going to be May 13th and 14th in Douglasville, Georgia. Douglasville, Georgia. Bright Star Road. I'm going to get the correct address. It's a little fuzzy there. And to make sure that you get that on Bright Star Road in Douglasville, Georgia. Abakasin Sum Sum. Yeah, the 20th anniversary. Mama Marimba has been doing it. And like I said, she had a great presentation at the Black Dot Cultural Center bookstore and coffee bar in Lithonia a few weeks ago. Baba Rudy has the quarterly coming up May 6th, Saturday, May 6th, quotation for reparations. Yeah, dealing with reparations. That's going to be Saturday, May 6th, noon to 2 p.m. Noon to 2 p.m. If you want to participate, you can go online because it's going to be online. It's going to be streaming. And put in the pertinent information, reparations, and your name, and your email address where they can send the link to. So you can use PayPal. It's a $10 donation. You can use PayPal. You can use Cash App to send that. Okay? And then the same day, May 6th, from 4 to 6 p.m., Mama Ya, Forgive, Release, and Live. Forgive, Release, and Live workshop for the sisters. For the brothers, 12 to 2 with Baba Baruti. For the sisters, from 4 to 6. Forgive, Release, and Live. Same thing, include your name and your information. And the topic is Forgive, Release, Live, your name, and your email address so they can send you the link. Also, too, the same evening, The Great Power of the African Mind. Baba Baruti will be giving a presentation, The Great Power of the African Mind. And that's going to be at the Griot Shop on Durgan Street, Durgan Place in Atlanta. And that's $20, $25 at the door. That's going to be dynamic. And then Akaban's ninth annual Complementarity Conference, Akaban Institute. African love is beautiful. Yes, it is. And the reason why I'm saying it so emphatically, because today is Baba and Mama Ya's anniversary. Today is their anniversary, family. They've been together 36 years, 37 years. I'll get it correct. And then, of course, to their the anniversary, so the Akaban. And that's going to be Saturday, June 3rd. It's going to be online. The Baruti Singles and Co-Parenting and Questions and Answers and so forth. The Akaban Institute's ninth annual complementarity. And the same thing applies if you want to use Cash App, PayPal, put in the pertinent information, complementarity conference, and your name and your email address. So that can be sent to you. That's going to be beautiful. Also, Akaban Institute's summer school program. We're offering a four-week online program, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 12 noon and from 1 to 4. Slots available in those increments, and some Mama Ya, what is she going to be teaching? Language arts, math, basic, you know, pre-algebra. And there's going to be some tutoring going on there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Baba Barudi, he has classes dealing with our history, and that's from 9 a.m. to 11. And then chess from 11 to 2, from 11 to 12, excuse me. So, yeah, so the Barudis. And let me keep that right there. Let me see if I still got that. Yes, I do. Yes, thank you. I'm glad I was able to save it. Today is our anniversary. I just wanted to reiterate on what has not changed. I still love my wife and still like her. She is my friend, and I am grateful. Abibi Fohodie, 38 years, Baba Barudi, and Mama Ya. She says, feeling thankful to be celebrating 38 years of marriage to Mwali Mumbarudi. 38 years of challenges and 38 years of blessings. Ashe. She wrote this 3 years ago. Giving thanks to you, Baba Barudi, Mwali Mumbarudi, my compliment of 38 years now, because you stepped up. You stayed put. You have shown commitment, which is preferable to a fleeting love. Ashe. You provided a disciplined, fatherly love to our daughter. You accepted my family dynamic, which was very different from yours. You eagerly embraced an African education for our daughter, which has led us to where we are. Outstanding. Congratulations to the Barudis. Happy anniversary, my brother and sister. Love y'all, no doubt. Yeah. So, speaking of the Barudis, the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. You know I love the Inyasasim family of Daily Revolutionary Thought. It's because it's always so pertinent and always on time. So, what do we have today? Today, okay, April 25th. Racism systematically verifies itself anytime the slave can only be free by imitating his master. Racism systematically verifies itself anytime that the slave can only be free by imitating his master. God, I hate that. That is Jamel Abdul El-Amin, H-Rap Brown. Our brother's a political prisoner here in, I don't know if he's in the state of Georgia. I know the conviction was out coming out of the state of Georgia, but yeah. That slaves are less than their masters is evident every time they act as if they've been defined by the reality that they have accepted and internalized as normal, deserved, correct existence. When doing so, they become active, willful participants in their own negation and dehumanization. To be free, enslaved individuals must recognize their oppression and refuse to participate in it. And herein lies the difference between a slave and one who is enslaved. Slaves actually see themselves as property of those who control them. Slaves believe they should be oppressed and exploited and willingly participate in it. Enslaved individuals know that they are being held captive against their will and work with every means at their disposal to free themselves. They are constantly at war against those who detain and oppress them. Most Africans are not slaves. I repeat, most Africans are not slaves. They are enslaved. As the physical chains of bondage were taken off, Europeans switched gears and focused more of their energy on turning Africans into independent slaves. So today, the balance in number of African slaves versus those of us enslaved has shifted. Most of us progressively regressed into a severe state of mental slavery. Those individuals have used every ounce of their genius to turn the world into a plantation on which they can freely slave. Affirm, I am no one's slave. Affirm, I am no one's slave. That's why I always say we were not slaves. We were captives because we want to get free. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We never submitted, family. We always resisted. We resisted then, we resist now, and we will resist forever. Forever. Excuse me. April 26. Dislike without knowledge is not firm. Dislike without knowledge is not firm. Ique Armand. Ique Armand. A jilted lover, too blind to see that he or she was deliberately betrayed, is likely to be used and abused by the same person in the same way over and over again. This warning, illustrating the weaknesses of ignorance and blind devotion, in fact, applies to every type of relationship and a reality where abuse of the control over others determines one's power and worth. In such a world, the corruptive effect of a will to dominance extends itself outward into every relationship that its originators and carriers have with others. Case in point are those curious Africans who claim to dislike those who they fully aware have unbroken record of hatred against us. Strangely, they cannot believe that this hatred is embedded in Urugu's heart. No matter how convincing their defense, these steadfast disbelievers are not true warriors. True warriors know their enemies. That's shame. True warriors know their enemies. These incomplete warriors are no more than closet devotees of insanity, veiled sycophants, desperately rationalizing their mythicidal desire to be respected and included in others' deadening games. They sit and wait for those who have always benefited from being evil to stop being their natural selves. They refuse to acknowledge that an entire people can be innately evil. Understanding this is basic to African warriors' basic knowledge. Understanding this is basic to an African warrior's knowledge base. Affirm, I know my enemy. Affirm, I know my enemies. Ashe. Ashe. I know my enemies. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Yeah. Something we haven't done in a while. I read the information that I read periodically. Haven't done in a while because, you know, we've done some other things, you know. But it's always good to do this because it's good information. It's really good. It really is. It's excellent information, you know. And so we're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah. This is Ezra Erehon, who wrote Sovereign Psyche. Yeah. Sovereignty is our issue, family. And what does sovereignty mean? Sovereignty means that nobody outside of us tells us a damn thing about who we are, what we do, and how we do it. Nobody. It is us. That's what I'm saying to us. That's what we must do. Ezra Erehon, he said, there is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved, a captive people, who valued integration with their captors to the point where they completely said, forget this, all the wealth that we have, the land we have, I want to be with Caucasians. What a captivated mind. What menticide. Man, family. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus, crazy, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Okay, let me go to this one right here. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is Macaulay. I ain't gonna call him no Lord. It's Macaulay in his address to the British Parliament on February 2nd of 1835. Macaulay said, I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa and have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth have I seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber that I did not think that we could ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of its nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture. For if Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a truly dominated nation. I don't know about you, family. I've read this now for many years. Yeah. In fact, when I first had this, was 2019. And I'd say, damn. Kwame Nkrumah said this, family. Kwame Nkrumah said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, or suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, and friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. We gave the world its first humanity, as Dr. Clark said, and we can give the world its next humanity by establishing that on the planet. But at this present time, evil rules. Selfishness rules. Greed rules. Nkrumah said this some years later. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we have been colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Is that not correct? Is that not what happened? To be truly liberated, family, to be truly liberated, we as African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the Europeans have had on our ability to think victoriously. Because if you can't
conceive it, you will never achieve it. We can't even think about being independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign.
We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts, and so has to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is a demand by an African-centered viewpoint, because why? We are Africans, and because the future towards which Europeans leads us is genocide. That's real, family. Family, that is real. Genocide. Yeah. So what must we do? I tell you, what must we do? As always, we need to play this to help continue to give us the perspective of what we must do. It's not here. You know, the conference I went to this past weekend, you know, I'm speaking from an African, and I know they're talking about America and trying to change. We've, you know, been having so many meetings and so many conferences and so many things about having to impact legislation, having to impact state governments, federal governments, local governments, having to impact business, all those things about hearing this rotten-ass, nasty-ass son of a bitch of a... Okay, Oshie. The future for Africa is in Africa. The future for Africans is in Africa. My friend Mamadou Bantou sent me this back in October of 2020, 3 years ago almost.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow an Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money. But the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, coal, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under US war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
Ashe, family, the time is now. The time is now. Actually, it was yesterday. But we have. But, you know, the issue is we don't know how much time we have. We don't know, especially when we're dealing with an entity like these Europeans who are so selfish and so greedy that who knows what they might do. Who knows what they might do? Especially since the fact that they have many things at their disposal. Less than 10% of the people on the planet are Europeans or Caucasians or Yoruba white people. And yet, they cause all this havoc. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about after the break. Yeah. You know, humanity on the planet. Yeah. We're going to talk about that. So hope you can join the conversation. I hope you are enjoying the program so far. Just did some things I haven't done in a while that are constant reminders of how important it is, you know, that let me take this call right now. Let me take this call. Brother Paul, how you doing? Hello, Brother Paul.
Wow, I got in very quick, Baba Ocha. I didn't expect to come in.
Uh-huh.
So quick. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'll be honest with you, man. Oh, right now I'm in so much pain. Oh, wow.
What's going on? What's going on in the UK? You're breaking
can
up.
Can you believe it? I went to the
Brother Paul, you're breaking up on me. I can't hear you. Brother Paul? Hello, Brother Paul. Man, call me back, man. Give me a call back, okay? Brother Paul, can you call? Yeah, give me a call back. Yeah. So, I'm anxious to hear what he has to say. But I'm going to talk about modern humans and how modern humans, even to this day, right now, modern humans have been on Earth less than 0.01% of the planet's existence. So if there was a timeline of this planet and its development, if there was a timeline, let me see. Brother Paul? Okay. Then there would be so many things that would have happened at the very end. So you start on the left, moving to the right, from left to right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
I'll phone back, yeah?
Okay, please. Okay. Yeah. So, and moving from left to right, so many things as you move to your right, happens on Earth with all the climatic changes, all the animals, the dinosaurs, plants, and so forth, and evolution to the very end, and a small portion is modern humans on the planet and their evolution and their existence, which, of course, could end because of modern humans. We'll talk about that after the break. We're going to take a break. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. Lakeshore Drive is my music for today, Lakeshore Drive. And it was ironic because I was thinking about Chicago. And, of course, those who are familiar with Chicago and Lake Michigan, downtown, Chicago, or the Loop. The Loop, as it is called, you know. So, Lakeshore Drive. You're listening to African Perspectives. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Lakeshore Drive. A nice drive down Chicago's Lakeshore Drive. Yeah. Modern humans. You know, we haven't been on this planet long, but the amount of time that we've been here, we've shown a hell messing it up. Big time. And the reason for this madness is human greed. Human greed. Human's ignorance. Human's hatred for one another. You know, I never forget when I was looking at an almanac and I kept noticing how Europeans, Caucasian, Urugu, how they chronicle things. They chronicle things by war. War with this group, or war with that group. Very Europeans. And, you know, if you listen to this program, you know I've stated this, that Europeans, that Africans are the first humans, Homo sapiens sapiens, and Africans migrated and went other places and adapted to those environments, because if you don't adapt, you die. And that some of those environments were not like Africa, where the environment was very welcoming. There's warmth, there's food, there's water. Some of those environments became very harsh, especially after the ice ages. You know, became very harsh. And so, the people who we call Europeans, Caucasians, Urugu, their environment was extremely harsh. That's why it became a very warlike people, very dominating people. Hard, hardcore patriarchal, dominating women. Many times no respect for women. Even cliches like a dog is a man's best friend. We talked about the complementarity and the complementarity conference that's coming up with the Burundis and the love that they have, the love that we should have for each other. Because as Africans, that's what was happening. But for those outside of us and the changes, because the DNA that can be traced goes all the way back to Dinesh. Europeans called it Lucy Dinesh, the first humans in Central East Africa, somewhere around Ethiopia, something like that. You know, and we migrate from that point. And what makes us different is, of course, the ability to adapt to environments. When you see Asian people and you see their eyes that are slanted. Well, you know, when higher elevations that you go, because there were mountains then, there are mountains now. And of course, there's precipitation on mountains, snow. You know, when you encounter those, if you don't have shades or some glasses some way, that the glare from the, so when the sun comes up, the glare off of the snow can be blinding, causing you to squint. One example I've often used is to look at these difference of human beings and their relationship to environment. When you look at Australia, the original people, not the Caucasians who came and took it. No, not the colonizers, but the original inhabitants, the indigenous. You look at them and you see they have dark skin. They have broad noses, thick lips. But they have stringy hair and they have stocky bodies. Because in the day, is hot and arid, but at night it is cool. So you need that long hair to help insulate you. You know, your stocky body and fat to help give it energy and food, protect you. But in Africa, your body was slender, no hair, close curl hair, thick lips, broad nose to let off the heat out all the time. All of these physical changes is a result of the evolution of human beings and the evolution of this planet. That's why people say that we are one. A lot of us don't want to agree to that. I understand that. Because when you look at the insanity, the evilness, it can come from that. But when you look at the history, I love that quote. Some say it's not Malcolm's quote, it's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's quote. Whoever's quote it is a great quote. Of all of our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. History. Modern humans have been on this earth less than 0.01% of the planet's existence. Of all that timeline of human beings, way at the far right, going from left to right, with beginning on the left with the, maybe you want to call it the Big Bang, maybe you want to call it whatever you want to call it. The Earth has been around for a while, about one third as long as the universe itself. By comparisons, Homo sapiens are the new kids on the block. Earth's story began at the outset of the hidden eon. The eon is, when they say eon, that's time immortal, just constant time. For about 4.6 billion years, it took 600 million years just for the Earth's crust to take shape. Mountains, rivers, plants, here and there, all of that. Fauna and flora. Another 300 million years for the first signs of microbiological life to pop up. And about 3.2 billion years after that for life to really get going, thanks to the evolutionary burst known as the Cambrian explosion. Several mass extinctions. Several mass extinctions have happened. Some 465 million years later, mammals finally took center stage, dinosaurs. But modern humans didn't enter the biological limelight for another 65 million years, with the first Homo sapiens appearing only around 300 million years ago. Only 300,000 years ago. The first Homo sapiens appeared on the planet 300,000 years ago. Humans have only been on this earth for 0.0067% of its existence. That's it. That's it, family. All the things that have happened on this planet, 0.0067% of its existence. That ain't nothing. In those 300,000 years, humans have been pretty busy. For a couple thousand years, we've harnessed fire and lived a nomadic existence. Until around the fourth millennium BCE. BCE is before Christian era. That's how they determine dates. They give the date, the dominance of this planet by Europeans and their year and dating system. That's like when I say to you the year, this is not 2023, but it is the year 6,200 and about 250 in the calendar by the Kemetic people, us. Us. That's the oldest calendar word. But no, this is 2023, 2000. So you know the earth is much older than 2023. But of course, we have two calendars that were developed that have been imposed on humanity. One calendar is the Julian calendar, Julius Caesar. One was sun and other one was moon. And then, of course, along comes Pope Gregory in the Gregorian calendar. And, of course, they use before Christian era. So they give all the dates. And then once the Christian era starts, it's at zero. And they come up that way. So they come down to the, just like in Greek numbers continues to go down until you get Romans and then bam. Okay. When the very first civilization took shape, since then, humans have been on a meteoric trajectory, going from hunter-gatherers to space. That's right. Hunter-gatherers now into space, spacefarers. In less than 6,000 years. Carl Sagan, famously, you know, Carl Sagan is, you know, he had scientists and very much looked at science and objective. You know, most scientists tend to be, to Christians and other religious people's dismay, atheists. Because they look at science and they look at how things have developed and they look at what Christians or what religious people present. And of course, it doesn't match. And what religious people present, there is no base in history for what they're saying. So Carl Sagan, and of course now, and it's, the brother, Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is the voice of scientific inquiry on the planet. And he's just like Carl Sagan was for Cosmos, he's the lead person for the presentation of Cosmos that is on public television. Carl Sagan famously displayed the universe's history on a 365-day calendar with the Big Bang on January 1st and our current movement starting at 12:01 a.m. the next year. See? So he's saying the Big Bang on a 365-day calendar happens day one. Then it takes a whole year at 12:01 before it goes into another year before we, human beings, Homo sapiens, arrive on the scene. On a timeline, it's only at 10:30 p.m. on the 31st that humans first appeared. So that would be like an hour and a half before the whole year. So so you begin January 1st, and then at 10:30, this is just giving you the dynamic of how long the earth has been around and doing things to this point. Where human beings come, the last arrivals and the ones who have messed this planet up to unbelievable proportions. And all of the recorded history is squeezed just into a few seconds. But what a few seconds it's been, that's for sure. They mentioned something about Pangea. Many people ask about Pangea, you know, and of course, Pangea is when the continents were one. when the continents was a huge, big landmass, then over thousands and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, there was continental shift. If you look at a map, you can see where South America can fit right into the southern portion where Ghana and Nigeria is, fit there. You can see where parts of Europe, not continent, parts of Europe and Asia can fit around that. And so you could see that. But what's interesting, Africa is in the middle. Africa is the middle of Pangaea. Africa, is that why, Brother Oshie, that Africa has all these resources, more resources than anybody else, more resources than any other continent on the planet? Is that why Africa's the richest? And is that why Africans who are on the continent of Africa should control it? Yes, because it is ours. It is ours. And I'm not saying we should not share it. I'm saying that we should, and we should get fair market value price for it so we can take care of our people, take care of our land, be educated, be players in the world instead of pawns. A growing number of scientists want to declare a new epoch because of humanity's impact on the earth. A new epoch. Geologists divided the life of the earth into various categories of time. First, there are eons, which stretch for millions and sometimes billions of years. Those are the eons. Then comes eras, followed by periods, epochs, and finally ages. For the past 11,700 years since the end of the Paleolithic Ice Age, the rise of humanity has coincided with the Hellenic Epoch, which is part of a Quaternary period of the Chthonic era. For most of this epoch, the world's climate remained stable. But with the rise of modern society, the earth has undergone rapid changes in a very short time. Rapid changes in a very short time. That's why many scientists believe that a new epoch called the Anthropocene period, meaning recent age of humans, should be adapted beginning around 1950, starting around the 1950s, and as the dawn of the nuclear age. For the Anthropocene to become official, both the International Commissions on Stratigraphy and then the International Union of Geological Scientists need to sign off. Despite the support within these groups, the epoch has yet to officially be recognized. Yeah, they simply, because it's a new era. It's a new dawn of human beings. And human beings only been on this planet, in this planet's existence. And if you would give it a time frame, from 1 year, January 1st, it would be December 31st at 10:30. 15 minutes. In that 15-minute time period to 12 midnight for a new year, boy. And because of humans' greed and the ability to amass huge amounts of wealth. Of course, a lot of the wealth family is not in resources, is in ideas and in paper money. which of course can change. I know Mama Nabantu said that, from based upon what she understands, is that the greatest wealth will be in silver, not in gold. But we all know that diamonds are, you know, diamonds are plenty. Diamonds all over. Diamonds really ain't worth nothing. But they're worth because of what? The diamond cartel. They hoard diamonds. They suppress them to keep them out on the market. So give you the impression, the buying public, that diamonds are rare. And so I can charge you $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a diamond. Or if they're huge diamonds that can be polished and cut, you know, that some diamonds, have, like the Hope Diamond, diamonds coming out of South Africa, adorning crowns of European royalty. I don't know about you, family, but when you're trained not to respond to this and to believe that this activity by Europeans is normal and just and should just be, happy to go along, to get along, it saddens me. And it makes me sick. It made me sick to see the so-called queen, all the stuff that she has stolen. When you see an African who's adorned, that wealth is theirs. It came from them. It came from their land. When you see Europeans, that wealth is stolen. That wealth has been robbed from Africa. But you're not supposed to think like that. You're supposed to train to think like, oh, the queen, the king, the monarchy, the empire. And speak it in reverence and in glowing terms, as if it's your own. But of course, you're relegated to a subservient position within it. No, it's not yours. But you can wish it was, because you can work in it. You can slave in it. Yeah. So that's human beings. All of this, the amount of things that have happened to the planet. I tell you. And it's a good article I got this from. This is from Interesting Facts. And, you know, probably sent to you in your emails or, yeah, this was sent on Google. You know, if you have Google emails, it's sent to me, Modern Facts. I get it periodically. I just thought that this one was interesting because a lot of us don't know how long we have been here as human family. You know, of course, they Europeans have done some things and made books and movies that if, you know, we're around the same time as dinosaurs, around the same time as even mastodons and saber-toothed tigers, all those are real. The fact is they have, not only do they have skeletal remains, some even have some DNA. Of course, you remember the Jurassic Park movies was the fact that they had the DNA, that they could develop these creatures again until hell broke loose. And of course, it's a franchise of movies. With the, I saw one recently, what about last year? You know. And what you call still in it? Oh, man, the dude's name, Indiana Jones. Can't think of it right now, but yeah. So the fact is, I look at not studying what happened, because like I said, on that timeline of January 1st when it all began, we are December 31st, 15 minutes before the change. So all of those things, all of that life, all of the evolutionary processes, all of that came way before. And now, we're, because of what humans have done, we're on the brink of the extermination of not just human existence. Now, if you go to Discovery Channel, Learning Channel, PBS, whatever, I know there was one documentary, continuous documentary, it, you know, what happens at the end where humans no longer exist, how plant life and the earth just takes over, rusting out old buildings, causing them to crumble, shrubbery and plant life, vegetation just takes over all of it, you know. So, and then possibly because of water, because of water, other life forms can begin to develop and exist. Because it is because of water that life has evolved, period. Excuse me, family. Period. Because of water. If you want to join this conversation, look like nobody wants to join my conversation here. I'm not a scientist, you know. Leave that to the scientists. But what I am is somebody who looks at, and to me, we all must be somebody who looks at life and how things are evolving. I want us to be here. We were the first person to be here. You know, let me say this, because sometimes we take things for granted, that because we're the first, we will be here. There's no way possible that they can kill us off. Let me say this. I understand what you're saying, especially when you look at us today. We have the youngest population than any other culture group on the planet. Let me repeat. Of all the cultural groups on the planet, the Japanese, Chinese, Asians, Filipinos, all the nations, Africans are the youngest. Africans have been the youngest. We were the first. We were the first group on the planet. I can't say this enough. And if you got something to prove me wrong, present that. Rescue me if I'm wrong. But we were the first people on the planet. And we will be the last. We will be the last. But I want us to be able to live. I want us to be able to live on this planet. We have a caller. 602-602. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie. Greetings, my brother.
Hey, Brother Marcus. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, my
Good.
Brother.
Thank you.
You know, when you look at what you're just listening to, what you just said, you know, it's one particular man, you know, who says human, but it's one species specifically that is destroying this planet. It's one particular group of people that's making all these nuclear weapons, yes. Making all these devastating weapons, creating all the destruction on the planet.
Yes.
You know, this anti-natural, and just everything
yeah.
that is
yeah.
natural, they go against it.
Yes.
Everything that is natural, they find a way to know you shouldn't do it like this, you know, you should do it like this. And the one that got here, the last one that really got here, because all the other species been around here before.
Right.
And they destroy the thing, but here he come up, he show up, and now everything should go this way, and you know. And it's for the last couple of hundred years too, all this devastation take place. But you know what's gonna happen? They will destroy themselves and this planet gonna be here. It, you know, my philosophy, it has always been here. Because, you know, well, that is another discussion. Because people will say, God created everything. Well, I say, well, if God created everything, then who created God? You know, somebody had to create him too.
Right.
This planet, this thing here, we don't understand it. So, you know, just learn to live in harmony with it. Just live, you know.
Right. Learn, but they can't do that. They can't do that.
They can't do that. There's something fundamentally wrong with these people. You know what I'm saying? And you see the devastation. No, we see the devastation taking place in Sudan right there. So, which is like, you know, I don't hear the black radio station really talking about
right.
it. Right,
exactly.
We have to talk about that because ain't that Africa too? I thought it was in Africa too. You know what I'm saying? I thought, so then the last time I looked at the map, it was in Africa. You know what I'm saying?
Sudan is in the heart of Africa. It is the heart. It is the heart of who we are as a people. Sudan, exactly. Ethiopia, Eritrea, all of that. That is the very beginning, the root of humanity.
Exactly. Exactly. And we see the devastation taking place there. And you see that situation, it's a proxy war, you know, because... Yeah. You got the two brothers there fighting, and you have the Arab in the north, one side supporting this group, and the other set of Arabs supporting that set of black people, and the black people, they're destroying each other.
Sad. Pathetic.
That's what it is. It's black against black, and the Arab outside supporting and say, all right, here, take this and kill your brother. And the other one say, yes, take this and kill your brother. You know, it's and a black people, that's what, and I think even this, when you see that thing with this movie they got coming out, Cleopatra.
Cleopatra. And, yeah, the confusion about that. You know, whether she was black or not, she was messed. She came in the Ptolemy era of ancient Egypt, which, of course, were the Greeks. And they intermarried with Africans. Of course, if their DNA mixed, then over periods of time, they will look more African than look Caucasian. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
I did that. Yep.
And at the time that she's the Cleopatra number 7. At the time that she comes on the scene is close to the Roman takeover, the end of the Ptolemies, the end of Greek occupation, and the Romans begin to take over. And so you can see they were there 300 years, and that 300 years in that period of time, yes, she looked dark. Yes, she made him more, you know, so... You know, people being mad about it. Go ahead and be mad about it. Because, damn it, y'all always portray Africans as Caucasians. Y'all always do that.
Yeah, well, when Chikanta Diop was there, Chikanta Diop, when he was alive, he went to the Egyptian government and he said, look, let me get a piece of that, the mummy there that I see there, and we can... test it. We can do a melanin dosage test.
Right.
Test it to see what.
They right.
they said, no, right. No. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Because that is
the truth.
Right. Exactly, Brother Marcus. The test is there. It can be proven whether somebody is more melanated than the other. It is there.
Exactly.
That's why we owe the great Senegalese Dr. Sheikh on the Jump a great debt of gratitude. His argument
at the symposium in 1974 in Cairo, where just he and Dr. Theophilia Obinga, who was a linguistic, tying all that together. And the smoking gun was the melanin dosage test, which they didn't even, listen, they didn't even present it then because they were denied. They couldn't even present it then, but they won the damn debate because they were denied. And then once it really happened, about 30 or 40 years later, many Caucasians were upset that some of the pharaohs and people that they did the test on were very African, very African, very melanated. Because why? They were. This is not something that Africans make up or Africans, dark-skinned Africans make up out of a sense of pride. No, they say it because it is true.
Yeah, but they know what? They know they are devoid of truth. They are liars. All of them here, Brother Oshie. They're European. And you see, all of them, all of these other ethnic groups, you know, they group together and say, let us keep our neck on the African.
Exactly.
And suck the blood.
All the groups. Everybody is against us, Marcus. We have no friends. Everybody is against us. We have no friends. And I'm saying, good. Forget y'all. Let us close ranks. Yes. Let us pull our resources. Let us come together. Let us be on the continent. Mm-hmm. Everybody get your ass out. Arabs, Chinese, Koreans, Indians. Everybody get your ass out and you go back to where you were. And we're going to come to where we are. Now, y'all can bring your ass here to America because we need to get our ass out of here. Y'all can come here. But we're taking back what is ours. And that is the most, that is a continent that has the most resources. That is a continent that can feed itself. That is a continent that is beautiful in its landscape, natural landscape. That is a continent where there's everything is right there for us. And if it isn't, we'll create it.
Yep, we'll create it. And I know what I think to Brother Oshie, all these changes we see taking place in the world, I think as the African stand up more and get more conscious of who he is, the parasite's going to have to find another host somewhere. You see?
Yeah.
And that is what is taking place. The African is slowly getting up and all the parasites sucking the African. Now they're going to have to find some other source to go suck on, and that's what creating all this you know, upheaval in the world. But I tell black people that this, our redemption is close, because when you see this happening, somebody got to fall for somebody rise. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
Right. So that's right. That's right.
You know, just keep on the trajectory at, and we'll be all right. Just keep pushing Africa, keep pushing forward, and we will be okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Anyway, Brother Oshie, love listening to your program. Thank you so much.
Brother Marcus, I thank you for listening all these many years and calling in and giving your perspective, your sound perspective. You are a wise elder. You're a good man. I've never seen you. I was in Memphis trying to see you, but we couldn't connect. But we will again, my brother. You take care and have a blessed day. All right, Brother Marcus.
Thank you.
Peace. 646-646, good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, Oshie?
Hey, what's up, Jay?
Not much, man. I just got a minute to tune in, so I said let me tune in, call.
I appreciate it, man.
See how my brother doing.
That's right. I appreciate it.
What's going on? I mean, the thing that I notice is everybody's upset about Harry Belafonte.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's upset about it. I mean, he was 96 years old. You know, to me, don't be upset. Bro. I think just when it finally happens, because he was in great shape. You know, he was doing the interviews just even as last year. But while that has happened, then just prepare to give honor, reverence, and respect to the man's life. You know, to talk about his impact, to talk about his advocacy, him being a great benefactor, donating to a lot of the causes, you know. So yeah, Harry Belafonte, no doubt, you know. But you know what I think about Jay? I think of that conversation that Harry Belafonte
and Dr. King had. When Dr. King was saying to him, I believe I'm trying to integrate my people into a burning building, you know?
Well, he sure did.
Yeah. That conversation was deep.
A slow burning building.
Yeah.
Because the building hasn't totally burnt down.
No.
But it's smothering.
Oh, no
you
doubt.
You know what I mean?
Oh, it's smoldering.
The fire is out.
Yeah, no.
And if the truth be told, and we don't realize it because we love white folks so much, the conditions of black people is probably worse off now on the collective than it was back then.
That's what I say, Jay.
We don't see it.
Right.
We don't see it because of our love of whiteness.
You're right.
And I wanted to integrate into whiteness. But, you know, at any given time, the white man could cut the knees off of black people, and black people ain't got nothing to rescue them.
That's right. That's why I'm saying. That's why I'm saying it's worse. That's why I'm saying it's worse. It's worse today than it was back. And understand. Even though there's always been, because of Caucasians, how they manipulate things, their facade, a belief that it is something better than what it is. And so, you know, when you're talking about a burning building, you're talking about a slow fire. You talk about something smoldering. Now, as a firefighter, you know, we want to make sure one of the worst things that can happen is a rekindle. That's the worst thing for firefighters. Ask a firefighter, what is one of the worst things that damn building sets back on fire? You know, that we didn't do our job to put it out totally, that it was smoldering and somehow it was just enough oxygen and just enough fuel to bring it back on fire again. And that's what it is, Jay. It's just smoldering.
Yeah, well.
And it could ignite at any time and be a bigger fire, a massive conflagration. And that's that conflagration.
Yeah, because we're not protected. We're not in a situation like back in the 60s where there was community. You understand?
Right.
Negroes are two spots separated from one another. They it's like they right there in the belly of the beast, to where the beast could do whatever they want to do to them.
Right.
And you're going to have to wait for somebody to come rescue your ass because you don't have no love for your community. You don't want to build community. But you know what the funny thing is? That's not going to happen to other ethnic groups because other ethnic groups have what? Community.
Right. And they made a connection to their origin. The Chinese.
That's right.
The Koreans. The Filipinos. They made a connection to their origin. The Indians. The Soviets.
But
whatever.
You know, Ochi. That's the only reason why other ethnic groups aren't abused like black people are, because other ethnic groups have some place to go back home and have some place to advocate for them if that started to happen to them. We the only ones who don't have the type of relationship with our birthplace to deal on that level. It's just, we got to get it together, man, because, you know, unfortunately, we don't realize or understand the importance of hope.
Right.
You know, we should have been in a position to where, as we've built some country in Africa, some place in Africa where we could really, really associate with and have power and agency. And I mean, Ghana's not the place. I mean, there's Tanzania that I think could
there's a lot of places.
But Ghana, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places, but I'm just saying, Ghana is a place that has a lot of the material and the groundwork to do it, but the mindset of the people are too colonialized to ever do it on the level at which we would be able to identify
and protect our people. But I mean, hey, the bottom line is, I take my hat off to anybody that goes home and anybody who integrates themselves into home and try to find some sort of peace and solace.
Right
while
on, Jay.
Still
I agree.
On this planet.
I do too. I'm always happy to see people that I've known, particularly here in the Atlanta area, that have repatriated. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, because the bottom line is, once you get to a certain age and you have the financial resources, there's not going to be that big of a difference from being here in America and being back home. You know what I mean? The only thing that keeps me here is some medical issues that, you know, I'm working on.
Right.
And if I could get those in order, then I would probably leave.
Yeah.
Because
you could leave and then have others that you trust here who want to be here to manage while they continue to send to you.
I don't already what you call them. I'm not in that. I already set myself up. I've been in retirement mode basically the last two years.
I don't have to worry.
I don't have to worry about that. That ain't even an issue because I saw what was coming. The thing that woke me up is that when you have a certain type of wealth, you have to really, really protect your assets or the white man gonna get all your shit. Yeah. I'm just telling you straight up.
Yeah.
So once I got a little sick, I had to sit down and handle my business because I don't want to give the white man everything I work for in life.
No, of course not. In fact, you want to make sure your family. I'm saying you want to make sure that your family, you know, benefits from what you've done, especially those who have supported you and you know who love you and respect you. Not that they just want what you're going to leave and what you got.
And you have to set that. In this society, OC, you have to set that up or they'll take it from you.
Yeah.
There's a way that you have to do it that is not cheap but you have to do it, or the white man's going to just wipe you out. And I learned that like 10, 15 years ago with my grandmother, went through what she went through. They come in, they'll take you to court, they'll get access to everything, and they'll give you, $50 a month? you know? I mean, she worked her whole life, had a pension, and all of that Social Security, and had assets, and... Hey, they took it all from her and gave her $50 a month for toiletries.
Hey. It's a damn shame, man.
And no, it's America and what it is. Now, if she'd have protected her assets, she'd have been all right. But, you know, the reality is that at that time, 15, 20 years ago, people ain't know about that, bro. Mm-hmm. You know? So, I mean, this is the society that we live in. This is a wicked place, man.
It is, man. It is.
This is a wicked place.
It really is.
But listen, I got to run. Put
Jay,
me on mute. And,
all right, dear brother. You
know,
take
Irvin,
care.
And to the rest of the brothers out there, give them my regards. Hey.
Yeah, Jay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, do your boy Ralph ever call in? I haven't heard Ralph in a while.
He has texted a few times. He's out there listening. Believe me, he is. And I appreciate him for it.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
My regards to the brother.
Right on. I love Ralph, man. Ralph's a good brother. But listen, Irv, I'm leaving.
Brother.
Oh, man. Irv is outstanding, man. He's going to be co-hosting. And then he's going to host the program. I'm leaving once again for a Milwaukee Black Firefighters Conference in Milwaukee. And
you
then
could,
I'm staying.
You could get your man Boogie Woogie Jones, or you don't find a better substitute, Irv. Oh, that's beautiful, brother. I can't wait. Just let me know the day.
Okay,
so
it's going to be.
Sure, I tune in for that one.
It's going to be.
I'll change my schedule.
It's going to be the 14th. Not the 14th, it's going to be the 10th and the 12th. The 10th and the 12th next month.
I'm marking it on my calendar and changing my schedule.
All right, do that, man.
Make sure I don't have no meetings before 1 o'clock on those 2 days. Hotel, brother.
Hotel, peace. my good friend, brother Irv Lewis will be hosting the program. He'll be on this Monday coming up, co-hosting, and then he'll be Friday. I'm going to do our Dr. Arcana and find some good stuff and to put her on Friday. You know, I know that one of the things that was bothering me about the State of the Black World Conference and what she's doing, all that should be one. It should be just, like I'm saying, I'm so adamant about the unity of African people. It just makes me angry that we can't come up with a day where it is this. Ain't nothing else happening but this. And that is the most important, this. It is encompassing all of the things that we need, everything that we need to move ourselves forward, for us to agree upon as a people to move ourselves forward. Ain't no other issues. It's shown in hell. Ain't no damn LGBTQRST. Ain't none of that shit. Okay? None of that. There's no other planks. There's nothing else in there. In fact, we ain't worried about gentrification. We ain't worried about nothing, because our whole plan is to get our ass up out of this madness. There is nothing that we're going to do in discussing about helping change the minds of Europeans, change the minds of Caucasians, change the minds of... No, it's all about changing the minds of Africans. It's all about understanding that the unity that we need is our salvation. It's all about understanding that when you see the madness that across the globe and what happens with us and how we're treated or mistreated, when you see all the foolishness, just as Brother Marcus mentioned about in the Sudan, all of these things will be rectified. All of these things will be changed. All of these things will be alleviated when we come together and unite. Unity is the bottom line, family. Unity. And it will be done. It will be achieved. Now, you know, I know that many of the people, and I know Harry Belafonte, who believe that we could all come together, as humanity could all come together. And I think the problem, of course, has been our lack of true understanding of Urugu, our true understanding of the evilness that Caucasians, because of their evolutionary development, would bring upon the planet. You know? So I think that, you know, once we begin to understand that, and once we begin to change that mindset, brothers and sisters, we're going to be fine. We are going to be fine. We're going to be able. We're going to be able to manage our own affairs. We're going to be able to be a people. When we come to the United Nations, if there is such a thing as the United Nations, we will come there as contributors. We will come there leading the way in humanity. We will come there offering resources at market value, fair market value price for other countries that don't have it. We'll come there to try to help end wars. We'll come there to try to help end things that may ruin the planet. The evilness of the European is so well documented. Yeah, my boy Teju. I love Teju Malolo Boni. He's a good friend. Need to get him on the program, but he's working and doing some other things, you know. But he guess he sent this piece out on the on Facebook, dealing with European scholars and historians are still trying to convince the world that Kemet was not an African civilization. But they've never explained why they keep finding. They never can explain why these crackers keep finding these combs, these Afro picks in the royal tombs. Because they were African. And that's what their hair was. Yeah, they wore wigs. They didn't wear no straight hair. They had all kinds of wigs. All kinds. It's a mystery. Ain't no damn mystery. It's just what the Caucasians do. They deny. They ignore. It's cognitive dissonance, family. It's cognitive dissonance. Time is up. Family, I love you. I respect you. I'm so honored to come every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time to talk about the issues that are affecting African people. I'm glad that you're listening. Continue to do so and get others. Peace. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Habibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace, family.